Submedia.
I'm Jessica Resnicek.
And I'm Ruby Montoya. We came out on Monday about our peaceful, nonviolent direct action against the Dakota Access Pipeline, which involved many things. The biggest headline grabber, I guess, would be the arson and the valve punctures that we did.
And halted construction for weeks on end and halted deadlines for DAPL.
Tell me what you did, when you did it, and how you did it.
All right, we did a lot of things. In the No DAPL campaign, we went to stand in solidarity with the Standing Rock Sioux, and Jessica started an encampment along the Mississippi River bore site. And as I assume we all know, that the Mississippi is the largest waterway here in this northern continent. We did marches and boycotts, hunger strikes, petitions, environmental impact statement requests. And then we saw that none of that was working. The bottom line was to stop the pipeline, and we went beyond those tactics and burned some machinery and blew some holes in a lot of valves throughout Iowa and a part of South Dakota.
In your release, you state that this was a peaceful action. Can you explain what do you mean by that, and why do you think this was peaceful?
I mean, this machinery, this oil that we're extracting, this industry, and the government, the federal government, and state government, our local government, all the governments that works with this industry, they're the destructive ones. I mean, we need to refocus about and get a clue about what's really going on here. We are removing destructive machinery from construction sites. And we are not the destroyers, we're the property improvers.
Yeah, we never once harmed anyone. We never threatened anyone. We took some fire to metal, and that's peaceful.
Why did you decide to turn yourselves in as opposed to maybe issuing like anonymous communiques?
Anytime we acted, we were fully prepared for being caught in the act, and that never happened. And none of the media coverage, it was pretty much non-existent. We don't really trust the internet enough to send out an anonymous communique. And part of the anonymous thing, I feel personally that there's a disconnection, you know, like we're two people that care a lot, and these tactics were used by two people that are caring and that are peaceful. And to put faces to these actions hopefully changes the paradigm of these tactics, in that they are viable and peaceful means to protecting whatever resources we still have left as a planet.
In your statement, you were very specific about how you did it. Why did you decide to be so specific?
I mean, I think I hope that's obvious. It's because we're encouraging others to follow suit. Like, this is how you can really effectively halt construction on and deadlines on a pipeline.
Yeah, and we anticipated a complete blackout, so at least to get, we didn't anticipate doing any interviews, so at least to get as much out as possible when we could, it seemed like the most viable option to help inspire people and ease any fears that this is somehow an insurmountable dilemma that we find ourselves in globally.
Why do you think there was so little coverage of these arsons when they happened?
It goes back to that these are inspiring actions. These are inspiring and peaceful actions. There seems to have been a media blackout because they did not want anyone else to do this, anyone else to be inspired to take similar actions. So protecting their bottom line, which is profit and exploitation of the land and people, seemed to be their motivation to keep a media blackout.
How much time are you facing for these actions? I mean, I'm not sure if charges have been laid yet, but that you guys don't have any idea?
No idea. Maybe like a kabajillion years. So I don't know if this stuff has been done before on this scale, but we imagine that it's, you know, centuries.
And how many pieces of machinery did y'all damage?
In one night last year on election night, 5 pieces of heavy equipment, backhoes and other heavy equipment. But after that, we actually continued on multiple different nights with whatever supplies we had until they ran out. I mean, I can't even a lot.
Yeah.
It was over a period of a couple of months. And so, and quite regularly we were going out around rural Iowa and finding power station satellites and at valve sites and setting fire to them. And when we had oxygen and acetylene available, we were doing valve piercings.
Tell me a little bit of the history of Catholic Worker in the history of sabotage of Catholic Worker. I mean, y'all are members of Catholic Worker. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. The Catholic Worker started in the 1930s from a woman named Dorothy Day. She started with civil disobedience in New York City, where the government was doing like this fear campaign, mandating everyone to go inside in case there was a nuclear attack committed on the United States. And so that grew out of this model of the Sermon on the Mount and putting the last first. So a lot of Catholic workers, communities across the globe, stand in solidarity with people that are repressed by the system and don't have access to basic resources like food and water. So we provide hospitality and soup kitchens, as well as the other aspect in that story of Jesus of resisting and the cleansing of the temple and the expelling the money changers out of these places of worship, so that those acts of civil disobedience are definitely involved in the Catholic Worker. So you have the hospitality aspect and then the resistance aspect as well.
You'll just go to YouTube to look at videos on how to use torches and stuff like that?
It came like the torch, the oxyacetylene torch, it came with instructions on how to cut and how to weld, and we just focused on how to cut because we weren't welding.
It was a process of trial and error, teaching ourselves.
Were these tools readily available? And if so, how were you able to get them?
They're sold at Home Depot. They're not really sold at Lowe's. I know you're up in Canada. I don't know what corporations are up there. But here in the United States, they sell them at Home Depot. And then you get these tanks. One that is acetylene, and then the other that's oxygen. They sell those at like air gas stores, and we paid for them in cash outside of our cities, and we bought them, you know, throughout the time that we were using them.
Are you all anarchists?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that I've been with the Catholic Workers for 6 years, and this is an anarchist movement that I do belong to.
Yeah, I don't want to put a label on myself, but I do believe in personal autonomy and personal responsibility to myself and the communities that I'm involved with.
One last question. Is there anything else that you want to say to people out there? You know, we got a bunch of different pipeline struggles happening all over Turtle Island. We got Energy East happening up here in the Northeast. And then we got Kinder Morgan happening in the West Coast. Is there anything you want to say to people who are resisting that or who are thinking about resisting those pipelines?
To people that are resisting these pipelines, thank you. Continue to do so. I chose peaceful means, and you know, you can. It's very obvious where they're storing their equipment, and trying to stop even the clear cutting before it goes down, it sucks when that goes down, because now they have escalated and it's like, you know, they continue to back us into this corner. So to start early, and yeah, as far as reflection for Standing Rock, we need to have it because the goal was to stop this pipeline and it has yet to be stopped. So we first need to even acknowledge that we did not do that.
Yeah, just one recommendation I would make is study the materials that they're working with closely. Once you understand the materials that they're working with, then you'll find the tool adequate to dismantle whatever piece of equipment or piece of material they're planning to destroy the earth with.